to our second Hank Cardiff podcast episode that has gone out during the coronavirus lockdown. Obviously, the last one, which we published at the beginning of April, it was published during the lockdown, but we actually recorded it quite some time ago. So apologies if the content seemed a little bit out of touch, talking about kitchen takeovers where none of us are allowed into anyone's kitchen except our own at the moment. But we wanted to get it out because it was a really nice episode and we hope that you enjoyed it. But this is our first one officially from the lockdown. So we thought we'd kind of have a chat about how we've both been getting on. So Matt, how have you been since you were confined to your four walls?
Well, I was counting my lucky stars that I got a cooker put in just before Christmas for the first time in a couple of years.
Portable hob, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a bit limited, shall we say. I've been very grateful that we've kind of had the facilities to be able to cook, and I think I've probably kind of fallen back on cooking as one of the things that has really helped me to keep sane during the last couple of weeks. So lots of baking and lots of, I don't know, I've just been getting very excited every time I can find somebody new to deliver tasty new things. Food has definitely been a comfort, and it's been nice to go back through recipe books and go back through recipes that we might not have cooked for a long time, to do things like bake bread and that kind of thing, which you can kind of do if you're around a bit more. I've kind of thrown myself into food really as a comfort and a distraction.
Yeah, same here. I've probably done less cooking than you because I'm lazy. But we've certainly been ordering loads of nice stuff. Obviously making some obligatory wild garlic recipes because if you haven't made something with wild garlic this month, who even are you? And there's loads of it in Canton, so it's really easy for me to go and get. Yeah, but yeah, definitely the food as a comfort thing has been a recurring thread across social media, across like traditional media, everything. Everywhere I look, there's like, I think on the Good Food podcast, not BBC Good Food podcast, or the Food Programme, that's what it's called. They were saying BBC Good Food website had searches for recipe content has gone up by 600% because people are at home and just looking for stuff that they can make with what they've got at home. Yeah. And you know, maybe didn't have the time before. Well, on the topic of food as a comfort, that was something that quite a lot of our independent food scene realised pretty early on, as soon as this kind of kicked off. So there's been an upsurge of collaborations and efforts to make sure that NHS staff are being fed during this time. So whether that's having stuff delivered and dropped off to them, or setting up, in the case of the Heath, setting up a kind of a temporary kitchen arrangement there, which has been amazing. So this episode is about us speaking to a couple of the people who've been involved in those efforts. The first one is Kev. You might know Kev from his Holyoaks business, which is an artisan Scotch egg company. They used to be based in Cardiff Market, but they're not anymore. His prep kitchen now is up in Canton in the Bridge Studios, and he supplies places like Pettigrew Bakery. And as a result of what's happened with coronavirus, he now also does home deliveries, and they've been going down a storm. But he decided to arrange or to set up a fundraiser to get the public to donate money to pay for a group of local independents to regularly deliver wholesome food parcels to frontline NHS staff. So we went to speak to him. Oh, we didn't go to speak to him. We phoned him on Zoom because this is the lockdown.
I think we need to make that point and apologise in advance for any issues we might have with weird sound quality.
Yeah, we Zoomed. We Zoomed with Kev, and this is what he had to say.
So I am Kev. I'm the business owner of Holyoaks, and Holyoaks is essentially just a Scotch egg business, a handmade Scotch egg business. It could be classed as artisan, but I don't really see it as artisan. It's just, I don't know. I love playing around with flavour and trying to produce sort of good tasting Scotch eggs. So yeah, that is it.
And they are.
Oh, well, thank you. How was your lunch? Is it all right?
Well, we've both just had them for lunch.
I had a Pettigrew delivery this morning, so I had chorizo royales for lunch.
Oh, lovely, lovely, yeah.
So how's it all been for you since it all, I mean, one on the business side, and then also how you came to set up the NHS fundraiser?
I think it started, the NHS thing kind of came before how I adapted the business, really. So long story short, Beck was due to, well, we were on a, well, no, in London, actually. She was meant to have her interview for the registrar post, or a registrar post. When
and
it
Beck
really,
is your wife.
Yes, yeah. And that's when it really started to become a problem here. And yeah, business-wise, I didn't really like probably everyone. I was just so unsure and uncertain about what was going to happen. The markets were still going ahead. Mm-hmm. But then in my head, I was kind of, I know, as Matt knows, you tried and everyone tried to keep them as safe as possible. But I was like, I don't know whether, with the means they've got, whether they'll be able to do it. And will the government just say we can't actually have markets? So yeah, I was kind of at a sort of loose end and just thought, well, I could actually go out of business here and there's nothing I can do about it. It's completely out of my control. So it was on the train back. I just thought, well, if that is going to be the case, I may as well go down fighting and try and do something before it goes. And that's when the NHS sort of idea was born on the train back from London then. So I did a post on social media just saying, this is the plan. And then sort of sent it out privately to some of my food business friends, well, all the guys you know anyway. Yeah, and the response from them was just unbelievable, really. They're all in the same position as me and they didn't really bat an eyelid and was like, yes, we're definitely in. So yeah, that kind of started. And then I think that same week, I just thought, well, I've got nothing to lose, really, by offering some sort of delivery service. See what happens. And then, yeah, similarly, the response has been, you know, unbelievable. It's such lovely support from people. And yeah, I'm now just extremely busy, busier than I would be, really, which is great. But that's business and the NHS, you know, combined together.
Yeah.
Who else have you got on board helping with the NHS project?
Well, business wise, there is, I think there's 27 of us now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really incredible. So we have Uncommon Ground Coffee, Arcadian Brewing, Calon Lan Cakes, Carrot Top Bakery, Dusty Knuckle, Fudge Hardlines, Crane Jewelry is Jodie Davis, but she's actually helping with the content for the Just Giving page. She's actually my landlady at Bridge Studios too, so...
Oh, of course she is.
There's Layli June, Layli does like Bab House as well. So yeah. Layli's on board. Penland Pantry help out with on prep day on a Tuesday. So Mel and Dan are there. Penland Preserves, Pettigrew, obviously. Pilgrim Kitchen, Relish Co. have just come on board. Samosa Co., Smiler's Coffee, The Artisan Baker, Bearded Taco, amazing. Brod as well. The Tidy Kitchen, Teak House are doing the cheese. Welsh Food Box donates a box of apples and bananas each week, which is really good because we're trying to balance up the naughtiness with a bit of health in there. Welsh Picnic Pantry, Wild Thing, and Bad Boy Brownies.
That is some list.
Everyone. Yeah, it is. It's really good. And there's mock-up designs as well.
Lush. And what's the latest with the fundraiser? How much are you on now? Last time I checked, 9.5.
Yeah, I think it's like 80 quid shy of the target. So, I mean, originally, I didn't really expect much at all. Like, it's blown my mind beyond belief to a point where I was like, oh my God, I'm responsible for all this money now. I don't know what to do. You know, it's costing about £600-£700 a week. But realistically, £6,000 isn't going to go that far when you're taking that into account. So we thought if we can get it to 10, that will see us, you know, up until the end of June. Honestly, I'd love to keep this as going as long as we can, but who knows how long this is really going to go on for. So yeah, it's currently 9920, I think.
Amazing.
So I'm hoping Phil sells a lot of rainbow pizza this weekend because then we get 50% of the takings. So that should bump us up over the 10 grand.
Yeah, they're colourful vegan pizza. They've made it a 50% NHS donation.
Yeah, it's great. And we've got this, there's another, like a flower floristry. She does like dried wedding flowers. They look incredible, actually. The Urban Flower Studio. So she now runs a raffle every week and the money comes to the Just Giving. There's a group of ladies who I think are healthcare workers who are all doing like a lockdown exercise challenge, but they're raising £500 for it. Yeah, it's honestly, it's really, really like, I'm so appreciative of everyone who is getting involved. And then we had a huge donation of £2,000 from LexisNexis, who is through Relish, who have just jumped on board. And they were going to give him the money to make meals, but then he just thought, this is all in place. And yeah. I'm literally, he's on the same site as where my kitchen is. So yeah, they've jumped on board too. And that was a huge donation, really, which is, you know, amazing, because that will ensure we can keep it going until June anyway.
Yeah. Where's the food going to, Kev? Where are you, who are you feeding?
I've got a list of 10 hospitals now, and then so last week we did we do the Gwent every week, just because the Gwent hasn't, well, it's the same sort of size of the Heath and it doesn't have that permanent restaurant there, etc. So the Gwent gets done every week, and then we did YYF in Caerphilly, the Royal Glam, Velindra, and where else did we go last week? It's on my Instagram. And then this week we're doing the Gwent again. We're going to do YYF again. We did Llandoch last week as well. That was it. And then we're doing the Princess of Wales in Bridgend, Prince Charles in Merthyr, and the Royal Glam. And then we're going to visit two ambulance centres in Newport as well.
Nice.
And the Caerphilly district nurses, who are flat out at the moment, obviously serving their community. So we're going to drop off to them as well. So yeah, it's a big week this week, but it should be good. Should be good.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is. I'm so proud of everyone with regards to the food they're donating. The incredible thing is how none of it gets pinched when it comes over to the kitchen, because it's so nice, and especially all the sweet stuff as well. So yeah, it's really testing our self-control. But the food they donate is unbelievable, and yeah, it just really does mean that, you know, we can actually cover quite a lot of hospitals. And it's we're doing it this way as well because I've, in the back of my mind, I'm quite wary of food waste, and we don't want to be generating any food waste, but this way we can separate it out and spread it, you know, evenly. So it may not be masses going there, but it's enough to feed a good team of 100 staff, perhaps. And as well as feeding them, it's just putting a smile on their face, which, you know, that's the most important thing for us. It's great.
And just show that people are thinking about them.
Yeah, that's it. And it's lovely to see the response we get from, well, you know, when the staff either post an image or, you know, it's the least we can do as a collective of businesses. But just to see someone saying, you know, this is great, and having, well, smiling in the current climate and what they're having to deal with on a daily basis, you know, that's what it's all about, I suppose.
And how are you feeling about it, having gone from that day on the train worried about the business not being there much longer to kind of running this big, wide end?
I know.
Businesses behind you.
I know, it's crazy. Sometimes I come back home and I look at, well, if Beck's here, I look at her and just think, I wish I didn't start this, honestly. But that's just because I'm tired. But yeah, no, it's luckily, I'd probably say nearly all of them I've met in some way, shape or form, be it at markets or food festivals. And, you know, we get on well and I'm close with them. So it is kind of like dealing with a group of your friends. So that helps. And I've now had to get a lot better at the planning side of it. So every Saturday I'm just like, bang, this is the plan for this week. And everyone's just like, great, we can do this. Or if someone's got any issues, I mean, the only issues we're encountering, like the sweet treat guys, they're struggling to get flour. So that's like the only problem we're really coming to terms with at the minute. But, you know, it's honed my management skills. I'll definitely say that. Because I'm used to working alone. So it's just like, oh my word, I've now got
to... Yeah, it's totally different.
Completely. it's good. It is good. It's keeping me very busy. And then with Holyoaks as well, I mean, again, the response from that, it's just now my brain is overworked, but in a positive and a good way. at the moment. So yeah, it's great.
Are you getting a sense from working with the other food businesses that people will want to come out of this doing slightly differently or working more closely together?
Yeah, it's such an interesting question, because even from what I've been doing as a business, I'm now starting to see a potential change in what I do going forward. I'm very much aware that obviously the situation is, it works in our favor because people can't go outside. Mm. So a home delivery thing is very beneficial to the businesses who can actually offer that service. The response has just been, you know, so good from that point of view, and the support's been incredible. It's made me think that, okay, this is something that I need to think about going forward, perhaps having a website and then an online ordering system. And then I could look at even expanding into like the corporate world and, you know, supplying offices and things like that. So yeah, from a personal point of view, that's what it's made me have a think about. From a collective point of view, we actually have had the conversation 2-3 weeks ago. Phil and myself and Darren from Mr. Crockwich and a couple of others were saying that, you know, this would be such a nice thing to have, almost like an indies hub where people can order from one central place and then each businesses can drop off to Z central place, and then there's all that produce there for people to come and buy. So yeah, I mean, the plans were there and we were actually going to get this rolling, but then everyone's just been so busy now with Phil going on to Uber Eats and things. Darren's launched his own home delivery thing. So, but it could be something potentially, and even with the Cardiff markets, it could be something which, you know, we all work on as a collective as well. I mean, who knows really?
I think you're right. What we'll see is some kind of blended model that comes out of this. So, you know, people that might do markets on the weekend, then a home delivery service if people are working from home more often. Collective online ordering. You know, there is going to be some kind of quite exciting change that comes out of it, I think, potentially.
Yeah, I really agree. And then I don't know whether, you know, hospitality will change going forward as well. Obviously, I mean, I love going to restaurants. But whether that will change, I don't know. Whether people will be going out as much, or will restaurants, for example, like you've said, see the patterns that are now starting to form, and will that whole industry change? I really don't know. It is going to be exciting is the word, I suppose, as long as everyone gets through it okay, really. Yeah. But yes, from my point of view, I've kind of got an idea now.
Nice. It's just been absolutely mad to see the way that everybody has just stepped up to the plate, and the response, like on the other side, on the kind of giving side as well, has just been phenomenal. So
yeah, it is. It's unbelievable. It really is. It literally blew me away, and it still does blow me away when I look at it. And it's like, that's £9,000. It's mad. But you know, it's down to them and everyone who has donated. You know, they're enabling us to do what we're doing, really, which is great. So yeah, I can't thank all those people enough.
One of the really sort of inspirational things about listening to Kev talk was that he went from a position of kind of really, you know, wondering if his business was going to survive, this real sort of threat. And in that moment, actually decided to kind of go out and do something really altruistic. And it's a really kind of uplifting in that story of, you know, in a time of crisis, he decides to go out and do this amazing thing and bring together and inspire all of the kind of independent food businesses around Cardiff to go and kind of look after, treat and help out all these people who are working so hard in hospitals.
Yeah, his words were, I thought if I'm going to go down, I'll go down with a fight then. I'll go down swinging.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it?
But also in the nicest way possible. You know, that makes it sound quite nasty. But important. Bon Jovi Blaze of Glory on in the kitchen or something.
It's your kitchen.
What a tune. Yeah. So then we went to speak to Kaz. And I'd actually never spoken to Kaz before. You knew Kaz already, didn't you?
Yeah, only from kind of being out and about in Roth, really, because obviously his first Waterloo tea business was in my neck of the woods, and I think probably his most recent is also on Wellfield Road. So I'd known him for a couple of years through that, and you know, seen that business go from strength to strength. I think he's now up to six tea leaves across kind of Cardiff and Penarth.
And they're lush. I love them.
Yeah, been amazingly successful.
Mm-hmm. And what he's managed to pull together at the Heath Hospital is actually incredible. And what I loved about speaking to him, which we'll hear now, is just how well thought out everything that he's done has been, and how much he's really put effort into making sure that they're doing the best possible job that they can for everybody involved. But I'll let Kaz explain.
Yeah.
Hello, my name is Kasim Ali. I'm the founder of Waterloo Tea. We've got 6 tea houses, 4 in Cardiff, 2 in Penarth, and we import tea from Asia and we wholesale and export that.
Kaz, you made the decision quite early to close down before the lockdown came to protect staff. How was that decision-making process for you, and how's it been since?
My background is health, so I'm a pharmacist by trade, so that's kind of always part of my thinking in terms of even our product offer. You know, we try and do no harm, on that front. We came to the decision that graphs don't lie. We knew what was coming. And actually, it came to a point where we thought, we could be doing harm. You know, we've got social spaces. People sit fairly closely together that we could be adding to the crisis. It was a shame because we were busy still. But you could kind of predict what was going to happen. Our staff are tea and coffee nerds, you know, and customer service experts. I also didn't feel comfortable with them having to do all these extra things. So the decision was pretty easy, in all honesty. It was gutting that it had to come to this, but I don't think it sat well with anybody too.
How did that develop then into this idea of providing food for healthcare workers? What was the problem that you'd seen that you wanted to solve?
Because we closed early, the food and drink industry was probably one of the first affected by this. So, and by us closing early, we had time to think and breathe and not worry about the day to day. And so about a week after that, we noticed some restaurants were closing and there was a lot of excess stock that they had that they were cooking off and sending to the hospitals just to do, you know, their bit for the crisis that was unfolding. From what I saw, it was always being delivered in a fairly unstructured kind of way. So the goodwill was there, but dropping off 500 meals, sometimes unannounced, sometimes hot, to a hospital carries a risk of, potentially doing more harm than good. So I saw those kind of things going on and reached out to the hospital. So I'd been in discussions with the hospital about 5 years ago when my dad was poorly and, I wasn't particularly impressed with the quality of the food or the nutritious value of the food that was being given to patients and staff actually in the hospital. So we'd had discussions about 5 years ago, and then I just reached out to Jeff, who's the head of estates at Cardiff and Vale University Health Board, and said, Jeff, is there anything we can do to help right now? And he connected us with the Health Charity, which is the official charity of the Health Board. And we just developed a system that would ensure that they knew what was arriving and we would get that to them in a safe and organized fashion. So it started off with us thinking, oh, we'll do 100 meals a day. This was, I think, Friday evening we set up a fundraising page, or Saturday morning. In like 36 hours it blew up, and all of a sudden we had like loads of money in that fundraiser. So we quickly had to
think bigger.
And the first day, Monday, when we had 100 meals, they were it's in the Sports and Social Club, you know, the place opposite the car park in the Heath, with a swimming pool. And there were queues out to the door and all the way around.
Staff?
Yeah, from all their staff. And that brought along with it further considerations such as, do we want all the staff congregating in one place? And the answer was clearly no, you know. So by day two, we had to reimagine our project. And, you know, day two was 200 meals. By Friday, we had 800 meals.
Wow.
And the next week, we had, you know, the health charity who are our partners on the ground. By working with them, we developed a system where, you know, a lot of guys who are working in the hospital, once they clock in, they're unable to leave. So we would drop off the meals and then they would parcel them and run them off to the different wards. And that's a system we still employ. So that's 800 meals that go to the Heath and 200 which go to Clandoch based on that system. The meals are chilled, which give them a bit of a longer life. So if you deliver hot food, it needs to be eaten pretty quickly. Yeah. Chilled food, you have 4 hours, so we send it all around in a refrigerated van, and then the health charity drop it off to the wards, and they can eat them chilled, or they can keep them in the fridge there, and they can heat them up during shift, or some of them take them home with them afterwards to save them having to cook. You know, I've spoken with quite a few national initiatives and local ones as well. I think the system we've got is really appropriate for our environment these days. So we have many small kitchens. So we can't have 10 people in the same building. Mm-hmm. So many small kitchens with a refrigerated van. The Go Panda, he's a local delivery guy who's been incredible. And he picks up from each of those small kitchens and then drops them off to the Heath in the mornings.
Brilliant. So you're not actually cooking at the Heath. You cook at all the different Waterloo Teas. Is that right? And then everything goes, so they're prepared.
Yeah. So we've got two kitchens open, Waterloo Tea, and there's all our other partners. So it truly is a collaboration of our food industry around these parts. And they cook off. So, you know, often they'll have one person in their kitchens, or there'll be their family members who'll help them out. And so that system seems to work. That's how it's set up.
So who else have you got cooking for you, Kaz? Which are the kind of partners and the restaurants that are all chipping in to help?
Yeah, that's a great bunch. I think it's Cardiff's finest. You know, anybody who's able to cook is cooking. So we've got James Summerin, who is just a machine. Is a man, he keeps on wanting to do more, you know. And it's Mel from The Pantry, a Secret Garden, who has been awesome as always. Karis and her family from Milkwood, they're cooking from there. We've got, it's a real kind of good cross-section of Cardiff, you know. We've got Jibaraj, we've got EJ Catering, who are used to doing this kind of thing, you know, massive production. For them, they can do this kind of stuff, 600 meals a day with their eyes closed. Spiro's came on this week again, you know, another kind of big hitter. Newhouse Hotels, so Town and Country, business, who've been amazing as well. I'm keen not to miss anybody out, but that's
we'll post a list somewhere.
And you know, there's a lot of these guys are kind of, how do I put it, like unsung heroes. You know, they may not get the most kind of attention. They may have, like us, terrible social media going on, but people like Wally's, you know, Wally's Deli. He kind of pulled up one day and said, "I've got some stuff for you," and it just brought out like incredible cheeses, and these weren't all perishable goods, you know. They had dates going on for an extra year, and he just kind of kept on emptying his car out and bringing more things in, and he didn't want any kind of recognition. Or so I think, in the way that I guess, like everybody, you know, we all want to help, and the food industry around these parts, this is seems to be an avenue that we can do our bit in a safe way.
Mm. Yeah. And what's the reaction been like from the staff at the hospital?
Yeah, I think they're loving it, you know. It's
best food they've ever had, I'd imagine. Yeah.
It's nice to feed them, you know, and feed them well. So they're really appreciative, you know. A lot of them are working, as we all know, crazy long hours. Some of them have moved out of their homes to protect their own families. Like I said, once they're in, they can't leave. So they're walled. So I think it's gone down well. And there's always more demand and there's more things that we can do. You know, today is the start of Ramadan as well. So especially with all the news and about black and ethnic minority doctors, God knows the reason why, but them being affected more. So we're just trying to target and just show that actually, I guess, show some solidarity to everybody. So today we'll be dropping off dates and fruits. So people who are fasting, there's quite a few doctors and nurses and staff who are fasting, that they'll have a nice little pack that they can open their fast with. So I hope we, as members of the food industry, we're saying that we represent Cardiff and we understand they do as well. So it feels as if we can never do enough. But so every week, I think, you know, next week we'll decide what more we can do.
You think we'll come out of this then with a greater deal of respect for food workers and you know, the delivery guys and, you know, the people who are kind of cooking and making and serving food?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm just talking about, you know, like the guys who work for us, most of them are graduates. Most of them are close to minimum wage because that's just the way the economy is set up. We'd love to charge £5 for a flat white and pay our guys more. But I think that, you know, when you look at essential workers, you know, I don't mean this in any other way, but I would say 90% of our delivery drivers who've been dropping stuff off to our door are from overseas, and I think that we don't necessarily appreciate the work that goes on by you know, people who are in jobs that close to minimum wage. So I think definitely we need to kind of up everybody's pay, whether that's government initiatives, but just to give people breathing space. I think, you know, it's kind of gutting as a business owner that you kind of know, unless the guys who work for you don't get something given to them in their grandmother's will or something, that they're going to be unable to buy a house. And I think that's something that we need to look at. It's different to other countries. You know, in other countries, food and beverage staff, they're treated as professionals. They get tipped massively, and they, you know, they have opportunity as a result of that. So I think there's lots of questions to be asked. I think this breathing space that we've all got, you know, that new normal that everybody talks about, I think we should kind of shout and demand that we'd like things to be done in this way, and whether that means the government getting involved, or whether that means actually we are allowed to charge £5 for a flat white and people appreciate that. I don't know how we get there. But I think, yeah, good things will come out of bad situations. And I just hope that we pause and reflect. And the same with all the other food businesses. I think as long as our staff are paid, so if the furlough scheme runs, then we don't really have any concerns, you know, so much. So, but yeah, I think it's a good opportunity just to remap our future right now. So, yeah.
I don't know if you saw that there was a Sky survey done this week that said less than 10% of people that they polled, obviously they're using it as a representative sample, want things to go back exactly as they were before. And that kind of gave me a bit of hope, because that's a huge number of people who want things to be different. Obviously the way they wanted things to be different wasn't mapped out, but that's 90% of people who don't just want things to go back to before. So I'm hopeful that things are going to change.
I mean, you know, it's lovely having the kids at home, you know. Lunch with the kids is kind of, you know, we took a lot of things for granted, you know, handshakes and hugs, you know, for me. We weren't really appreciative of, you know, what we had or what we do have today. And when I look back at actually all the things that we managed to achieve in Waterloo Tea, there's lots of lovely things that we do that we have achieved. And I think because we don't take stock, and we always think, what more can we
do? What's next?
Yeah.
Kat, it's been absolutely brilliant talking to you. It's a fantastic thing you're doing. We're so impressed, and I think I really get the feeling that the city, not just the food industry, is really behind what you're doing. So if there's anything anybody can do to help, let us know, and we'll do our best to spread the word.
Sweet, nice one, Matt. Yeah, and I look forward to seeing you both. Yeah, again. Yeah, soon.
£5 flat white and a hug.
So that was Kaz talking about the tens of thousands of pounds they've managed to launch for the team who are working at the Heath. And obviously it's not just him, it's lots of Cardiff's other independents who are probably involved in that. We'll tag all of those in the show notes if you want to have a look. And I'll also put them up on my blog on Hungry City Hippie. But I loved listening to the bit at the end where Kaz was saying about, yes, this time is really scary and challenging, but also it's a time for us to pause a bit and reflect and think about what we were maybe doing. No, I don't want to say wrong. Wrong's a strong word, but what we were maybe blindly doing that we could do better or differently when we go back. And do we need to be running ourselves ragged all the time? And do we need to be, you know, making ourselves busy 100% of the time and constantly in pursuit of growth? And I thought it was really nice to hear somebody in his position be thinking about those bigger questions when they're already contending with and taking on so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that's that point around, you know, what normal will look like when we kind of come out of lockdown is a really important one. And you know, I think they've made it clear just this week that that isn't going to be a flick of a switch and everything goes back to normal. This is going to change over several months. And, you know, I think we've all got a role to play in using a bit of that headspace or that time, as Kaz was talking about, to really think and advocate for the sort of change that we want to see now. You know, there should be an opportunity, tragic as this situation has been, to try and take some positives out of it in terms of how we get back to, well, not how we get back, but, you know, what we get back to.
Yeah. I'm hoping that, you know, everybody who's been fed by the likes of Holyoaks and Pettigrew doing their deliveries and, you know, all the other chemies who are doing their veg boxes that they've never did before, and all the people from Riverside Market who have been, you know, doing home deliveries and, you know, working really hard to put in systems and processes that they didn't before, that they will be remembered and that people will feel more loyal to them after this and feel more like, yeah, actually, they did me a solid. Let's carry on.
So you're going to share on your blog where people can support Kev and Kaz and any of the others. We'll also share the link to the Food Cardiff website.
Yeah, that might be an easier place to see all of what's going on. So Food Cardiff have collated, so that's foodcardiff.com, have collated all of the information about the different fundraisers that are going on around the city, the different deliveries that are going on around the stuff that's going on to help feed vulnerable people across the city. So there's loads of information about the good stuff that's going on in Cardiff at the moment there. So have a look there. And also, if you want to get involved and talk about the good stuff that you've been doing, so whether that's buying from local indies that you didn't have before, or cooking more from home, or maybe you're growing stuff, you can also use the hashtag GoodFoodCardiff to talk about that. And Food Cardiff are going to be kind of resharing all the best stories as part of their activity in the city.
Fab.
And apart from that, tweet me a Matt and tell us if you like Tank Cardiff, and please subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast, leave us reviews, blah blah blah, the usual stuff that podcasters say at the end. You know the drill.
And stay home.
Yeah, and stay home.
And eat lots.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.